Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. When you build a better business, you're building a better life as a small firm architect. Get noticed, sign more projects, make more money, live a happier life with less stress and more support. Entree Architect Academy is opening for enrollment this September 2016. To learn more and to join our early bird mailing list, visit entrearchitect.com/academy. This is the best of Entree Architect podcast. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to August 2016. This month at Entree Architect, we are focusing on the category of personal development. And in honor of developing myself personally, I'm spending this month away from the podcast and working on me. And you know me, I'll probably also be working behind the scenes, taking things here at Entree Architect to the next level for you. So this month, I encourage you to take this month to be self-centered, centered on yourself. Dedicate some time to building a better you and enjoy the best of Entree Architect Podcast. This episode of the Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. Learn more at freshbooks.com/architect. When Anne-Marie and I launched our residential architecture studio in 1999, we made a very important decision about the name of our firm. We wanted to be sure that our name was unique and would clearly separate our studio from the many other residential architects in the region. We wanted a name that would be easy to remember, would endure, and would outlive the firm's founders when the next generation might take the lead. We wanted a name that would not burden us as principals, forcing us to be the only people prospects would want to meet when developing new business or interacting with our clients. If our names were on the door, would we be the only people qualified to represent the firm? We wanted a name on which we could build a brand. We named our firm Five Cat Studio, and we succeeded in building a successful brand of high-end residential architecture in the Lower Hudson Valley of New York State. This week on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I am speaking with a person who understands how important proper branding is to the success of every architect. She's responsible for branding and rebranding multiple New England-based architecture firms. Emily Hall is a senior associate with Union Studio Architecture based in Providence, Rhode Island, and we had a fantastic conversation about how to successfully rebrand an architecture firm. Support for everything we do here at Entrepreneur Architect is provided by our platform sponsor, FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. For a free 30-day trial, visit freshbooks.com/architect. Emily Hall, welcome to the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking the time to join me. I appreciate it. You are the senior associate at a firm formerly known as Donald Powers Architects, based in Providence, Rhode Island, my old stomping ground. I went to Roger Williams University in Bristol, which is not too far from there. Heading back up there tomorrow to give a small talk to the AIAS up there. So I'm excited to go back to where it all began. But in 2011, with your guidance, Donald Powers Architects successfully rebranded as Union Studio Architecture and Community Design. And that certainly, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but is no small feat to take an established firm with a principal's name on it and rebrand it successfully so it works. And I'd love to discuss that. But before we get into that, I want to know a little bit more about you. I'd like to understand where you came from and where did you start. So if you could sort of give us your origin story, what's your path to where you are today?
Sure. Well, like a lot of people who are in architectural marketing, I never went out with this in mind as an end career goal. I think a lot of people find themselves in the field of architectural marketing through a lot of different paths and channels. Personally, I have an undergrad and an undergrad experience in art history and studio art that took me to New York City after that for 5 years to work in the art gallery world. And I wound up talking a lot about art for 5 years and then wanted to do some more design work. So went back to school at Rhode Island School of Design, where I got a master's degree in industrial design. And then I got pulled into the architectural world because I wanted to do a simple job so I could have my own time to do my own studio work in industrial design. So I got a job for a small architecture firm as a receptionist. And then, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And then, that's my rabbit actually causing some damage over there.
Well, you might hear my dogs barking in the background.
So. I apologize.
We roll really casually around here, so no worries.
Yeah. So then I was a receptionist at a small architecture firm and gradually just took on more and more responsibility. And over the course of 9 years at that firm, which was Durkee Brown, Viveros, and Werenfels Architects, also in Providence, I got a window into absolutely every job in the firm that was not being an actual architect. So office management, doing the billing, accounts payable, receivables. Then I got into marketing from the business side and then was able to educate myself in marketing through SMPS, the Society of Marketing Professional Services, which is a great organization, really taught me a lot about the nuance of marketing for architecture firms. Worked with them through a rebrand, or at least a change of logo and website. And then was asked to join Union Studio, or Donald Powers Architects at the time. And I've been there for 4 years. And then recently, last May, I got my my MBA from the University of Rhode Island, which I was doing at night for the past 3 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a lot of math involved, and I didn't have much of that in my recent professional past, but I'm glad I did it. I really, I needed it to round out my, my knowledge about marketing and business. It was kind of that final piece in that puzzle because I'd been doing a lot of that over the years. I've always been somewhere between business and design, and operated within that margin, very left brain, right brain. So that's how I wound up where I am today.
Yeah, it sounds like you are the every architect's dream.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think I'm their worst nightmare sometimes.
You know, maybe some would consider that. But I, you know, from my point of view, every architect needs to run their firm like a business, and many of them either don't know how to or don't want to. And to have somebody on board like you would be so great to be able to handle the business end of things and let architects be architects.
I've been fortunate to work for two firms that had a very strong business sense. And I know it would be much more of a challenge to work with principals who didn't have that knowledge. So I've been very lucky that my opinion has been respected and considered. And, I'm lucky that there hasn't been much ego involved on the principal side in any firm that I've worked with so far. They've been very willing to change when they needed to change.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Powers Architects was a pretty established brand itself before you rebranded. So to have a firm that understood how to get to that point was unique in itself.
Absolutely. Donald did a great job from the very beginning at building a national client base through thought leadership and membership in the Congress for the New Urbanism, which is an excellent organization. It's very much aligned with our mission. And he was able to join that and earn a lot of national clients that way. So sometimes it's easier, I think, especially a small firm in a small state like Rhode Island, to have that national credibility, to be an expert in a way, essentially. And that's he did a great job of building that. And he also did it, I commend him for knowing, and his partner, Douglas Caulfields, knowing that at the time, about the point that they reached 10 years, that it was time to make a change. And that looking into the future of the business, 10, 20 years later, it didn't need to be Donald Powers Architects anymore, that wasn't a clear alignment with where the firm was going.
So let's talk about that. Talk about a little bit about, first of all, What does your firm do? So everybody kind of understands the type of firm, the size of firm, and that kind of thing. And then talk about, what was the trigger to change?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So we're about 20 people, which, believe it or not, is a mid-sized firm in the state of Rhode Island. I think our largest firm is about 30 people in the state. And we do architecture and community design. So where we're different is we look at architecture in the context of planning and master planning and really the 3D experience of spaces. So it's a combination of that. It's the connective tissue that brings, a site together with a building, and everything is in context and response to each other. So it's a great, makes for a pedestrian experience that's very friendly and walkable. So we do a lot of housing. We do prototype housing and private residences, multifamily, and affordable housing. We also do academic work, adaptive reuse, mostly full spectrum architecture. Yep.
And it's national everywhere.
Yeah.
Pretty much serve everywhere.
Yeah, and we're a boutique firm that works nationally. We've been lucky enough to have a few projects in the Seattle area. We have one in California now. We had one in Texas, Virginia, New York State. Oklahoma, we got a project in Oklahoma last year. And Canada, we had our first project in Canada last year. So yeah, we do work, I guess you could say, internationally.
Yeah, and are you growing?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we just hired somebody. We started last week, and we are looking to grow. And that's part of, I think, most rebrands. That is the impetus, is an idea for around growth.
So what was the trigger? What was the reason for the rebrand?
Well, 10 years old, looking to the future, and I think Donald and his partner Douglas knew that just having one name on the sign didn't really reflect what we were about as a firm that was very much about collaboration, layering of efforts, community, the intersection of community and design. So Union Studio, and we're also located on Union Street, so that was an easy suggestion of a name, but it also means so much. Yeah, and it means so much more than that, because it's really the intersection of so many things, and that's exactly how we view, with our broad holistic perspective on architecture and the built environment, that's how we view it. So I think it was more of, hitting that 10-year point and saying, where are we going to be and how are we going to grow in 10 or 20 years? And that really does reflect more about who we are as a culture and where the next generation of leadership is going to come in. We didn't want to just add more names on.
Yeah. I think it's important when architects establish their firm from the beginning, or if they're in that position now where they have started their firm and they've named it after themselves, to really mm-hmm. consider that name. I think the name is so, so important. I don't think it's okay to just, you know, open a firm and just name it after yourself, because in the future that becomes an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Redding, who's the COO of Charette Venture Group, who introduced you and me,
mm-hmm.
He and I have had a conversation about many of the architects that he's speaking with, because he's talking to many architects through what he's doing with Charette Venture Group. And so many architects are overwhelmed with the amount of work they're doing, you know, mm-hmm. their own responsibility, the principals in their firms. And so many of them are out getting the work. And the reason they're out getting the work and not behind a drafting board designing is because their name is on the door. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants mm-hmm. to talk to anybody except for the guy with the name on the door. And so... Mm-hmm. You know, a solution to that is to not put your name on the door.
that's a good point. I hadn't really thought about it that way in terms of business development, but it absolutely opens up your options and makes it easier for everybody in the firm to market on behalf of the firm.
Let's take a quick break to thank FreshBooks for support as a platform sponsor. As a platform sponsor, FreshBooks has provided funding and support for our mission to become an influential force in this profession of architecture. They recognize the need for small firms to build better businesses in order to be better architects. So who is FreshBooks? FreshBooks is the easy-to-use invoicing software designed to help small business owners, and yes, that's you and me, small firm architects. FreshBooks will help us get organized, save time invoicing, and get paid faster. For more information and access to a free 30-day trial, go to freshbooks.com/architect and enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. What was the process that Donald Powers Architects had to go through to get to where you are now?
Okay, well, they had decided on the name by, you know, in about 90%, they decided on Union Studio as the name at the point that they had brought me in to help with the rebrand. So I came in with that advantage that the name was chosen, but, you know, we really were starting from scratch. And we set our calendar and our time frame and knew we wanted to launch within a year, which is actually a pretty aggressive schedule, believe it or not. It sounds like a lot of time, but there's a lot to be done. And we started with a metric review and, you know, just basic analytics about the existing site. And they didn't have any analytics installed at that point. So made sure to install the right tracking with the existing site to see where people were spending time and weren't. So at least we got a, you know, baseline of how much time people were spending on the site and what they were visiting, what pages.
What were you using to do that?
They were visiting. I use StatCounter, okay, which is free. And I like it a lot. And, you know, there's always Google Analytics, but I personally like StatCounter better because it gives you more detailed information about each page and each visitor. So that was helpful to start with a baseline. And then we engaged a graphic designer, who's Bob Troutman, who's now with a communications agency called Nail. Excellent work. And he brought us through a series of questions as a firm and interviewed all of our employees, which is pretty easy to do when you're, at the time we were fewer than we are now. I think we were about 10, and asked a lot of questions about what we perceived, our individual employees perceived as our value proposition, what our brand represented, where we wanted, how we perceived growth, where we saw the firm being in 10 years, what we felt about the firm culture. And I read all of those responses and worked through them with the principals. And it was interesting, because we are a mission-based firm, a lot of those answers were quite similar. So in a way, it was a fortuitous place to start, that our employees felt had, you know, pretty much of a common opinion about our existing brand and where we want it to be. And that was helpful. So we came down to a list of about 10 adjectives that described us really honestly as a firm, and all of that helped direct our graphic designer. He was able to understand the directive to freshen the classical, and that was really important to us. We're a traditionally based firm, traditional architecture and new urbanism, and we didn't want to appear stodgy. We're a young firm. We've got fresh ideas, very friendly and accessible firm culture. So freshening the classical was a good directive. We wanted to remain rooted in classical architecture, but also really get our personality out there and express that clearly. So after several go-arounds, because it was a tall order, our graphic designer really came up with some great ideas. And what helped him was we actually gave him a book by Vitruvius and said, just glance through, because I'm not sure how many, you know, contemporary graphic designers are really familiar with the depth of traditional architecture and classical architecture. So he was able to look at that and pull some interesting patterns from that book and incorporate that into a logo that was unexpected. He wasn't pulling the traditional symbols of classical architecture. He was really taking something that was pretty nuanced, and we recognized that and really appreciate that. And we felt that and he created a system, a logo system out of that with lines that didn't, so the logo didn't have to stand alone to always represent us. There was just a lot of lines on the letterhead and the website that could be used separate from the logo. It was a good effort. And then meanwhile, we were also doing the website at the same time. And we worked with a web designer out in London, and then he was excellent at that. So, yeah.
Yeah, the website is beautiful. I was talking a little bit before we started recording. I think the website alone is probably one of the most successful branded websites for an architect that I've seen. I would highly recommend everybody to go look at it. It's unionstudioarc.com. Mm-hmm. The logo is beautiful. The presentation is beautiful. And what I love about the website is that it's complete, that it has everything that you expect it or need it to have from a client's point of view. Not necessarily all the flashy, fancy pictures, but they're there too. They're beautiful photographs. But it's designed in a way to be useful for the client. It's there to tell your story. It has a fantastic video attached to it that tells your story from a video.
An intern did that, by the way.
Excellent. And it's an excellent video. And I think that alone sells your studio, because it tells not only the story of your studio, but it talks about the people and a lot of their personal stories and how and why Donald started the firm and you know where it is today. It's very, very well done. So the overall brand is there.
You
go to unionstudioarc.com and the brand screams at you in a very successful way. I don't know if screaming is the right term to use, but it's very, very well done. And I see the logo what you're talking about, that the logo is sort of a gold, yellow gold square with a series of curved lines through it. And those curved lines repeat themselves through patterns on the website. I would assume that's probably also on letterhead and presentations and all of that. So what you did, from what you described, is that you started by analyzing the current brand, because clearly there was a strong brand with Donald Powers Architects, and so you had to analyze what that brand was in order to go to the next level of sort of rebranding it and taking what you are and taking it to where you want it to be.
And I think it's really important not to make assumptions at that stage of the process and to really ask third-party opinions about the brand. I had the advantage of coming in from a competing architecture firm. So I really had my own idea of what that brand looked like from the outside. And then that was very valuable in coming in and saying, well, this is what people think of this brand. And I knew that because I didn't, I just didn't being in the industry and talking to people and knowing what Donald Powers Architects represented, I had a very strong idea of what, you know, kind of the word on the street was about the firm and the brand. So I think it's important to get that third party perspective and to really deep dive with all of your employees and make sure that it stays somewhat out of the hands of the principals in terms of the just the base objective analytics, because you really need that information to work with, because you can make a lot of assumptions about what people think of you and your brand that aren't accurate, because they're what you wanted to project and thought you were projecting for years, and maybe they weren't. It wasn't entirely accurate. I think there's often that disjoint with people, what the people think their brand is versus what it really is,
right, or
how it's really perceived.
Or what it should be. I think that, mm-hmm. that so many architects fall into the trap of marketing to other architects, mm-hmm. that they want to create a beautiful presentation on your website and the brand and the logo, mm-hmm. that is going to be appealing to them and their friends and to their peers. And they forget that the whole point of the website and the marketing is to appeal to your target market, which may
Absolutely.
Be completely different than what your friends, the architects, think. We Absolutely. Just, two episodes ago, we had Nicholas Renard on from Cody Renard Architecture and Dig Architecture. And he has a marketing firm working for him. And that is one thing he said, is that when they first started, they do all his social media work. When they first started, he hated what they were doing because it wouldn't be what he would do. And mm-hmm. then he realized very quickly that it was not supposed to be appealing to him. It was supposed to be mm-hmm. appealing to the people who were hiring him. And he's mm-hmm. very, very happy with what he's done.
That's why I think it's important to write a very clear brief about what you expect the brand to do, what you want it to do, so that you can lay out the right questions to ask yourself all the way through the process and say, is it achieving X, Y, and Z? You know, at the beginning of this process, we needed it to achieve X, Y, and Z. And then all the way through, you can weigh the answers, you know, with the questions and say, okay, is it doing it? So it just takes a little bit of the, you know, the personal attachment to the brand out of it when you're able to really quantify, you know, an analysis and say, is it doing it? Well, it is actually, you know.
Yeah. Describe what a brief is, you know.
Where you outline what your goals are for the project, a little bit of background, maybe what your metrics for success would be, you know, where you want to be and how you would know that you had achieved that. That's what we did with, mm-hmm. with our process, is what would success look like with this brand? And you know, I think we actually managed to achieve more than what we thought. And certainly with the website, in terms of traffic, we really quadrupled a lot of numbers when we made some key changes, and they were subtle changes, but in terms of content. But I think one of the things that I took away is how much people want to know about the personalities in the firm. Mm. People yeah. really want to be able to connect with not only the principals, but the other staff members. And I think that's a very clear way to show your firm culture and personality.
Yeah, and the values of the firm.
Absolutely. A lot of firms just list the two principals and say, and staff, and you have no idea how big the firm is. You have no idea who the people are that are really working hard to make the projects happen. And if you're a firm that values your employees and their talents as one of your greatest assets, I would think you would show that and showcase that proudly.
Yeah, and that's part of your brand. I mean, we talked about the website and the logo and the story, but could you sort of, let's go back to the beginning. What would be mm-hmm. your definition of brand, and what are all the pieces that make up a brand?
Well, a brand is a promise, and I think that is the widely accepted definition of a brand. It's a promise you're making to an audience. It's not just the logo. It's not just the look or the color. It's the overall experience that you're saying, if you engage with our company, you're going to have this experience. And for us, we wanted it to be an optimistic brand, but also rooted in the traditional, as I said. So, it's all the things that you see up front. So that would be the logo and the letterhead and the website and social media presence. But it's also the tone of voice with which you talk about the firm. And that's where social media becomes so important too, is having somebody who clearly understands the tone of voice and the way that the firm engages with visitors or the public in general. And that's critical, and that should carry through in all the writing. Think about proposal writing, and that's part of the brand as well. And you know, when you're using boilerplate that's 5 years old, that maybe wasn't reconfigured to match your brand, that's a problem.
Yeah,
make sure that everything's aligned.
Yeah, if everything is visually saying one thing and the words coming out of your mouth. Or your written presentations is telling mm-hmm. a completely different story, then you mm-hmm. have a misalignment of brand.
Absolutely.
And even the words you say, the greetings on a telephone, you know, when you answer the telephone, and the processes that you go through to create the architecture is even part of the brand.
Absolutely. And the experience when somebody walks in the front office, you know, is there bunch of junk on the table that you don't even know because you walk by it so many, you know, every day you walk by the same pile of junk, so you don't think anything of it. And then, so part of my job is often walking around and saying, wait, we have a meeting, we've got to clean up the conference room. You know, that's yeah. It becomes a brand issue, a market issue for sure. And then how people answer the phone, and also even down to you know, one of the things I've always found is that on title blocks and things like that, if you don't have a clear system in place and kind of brand book, people can really take licenses when they're doing a report or working on a title block or something. So you can, there's some monitoring that has to happen, which is, whoa, why are we using this font right now?
Right.
This isn't, we don't use this font for the content of memos. We use, this is the hierarchy of fonts that we use. And it's not to be, overly aggressive about defending the brand. It's more that we have to project that we're all on the same page, because certainly with Union Studio, we're a tight studio and we are all working towards the same goal and mission. So to have things coming out of the firm that are misaligned, it certainly doesn't support our brand.
Yeah. So do you have an operations manual and guidelines and all of that to keep things consistent?
We do. And every once in a while we have to revisit that. And we certainly have a welcome package for new hires that talks a lot about the firm history and what we do and how to communicate what we do if you're asked. Just, you know, a little cheat sheet. And part of that is also the brand identity package. This is how you use, this is, you know, what fonts to use and what colors and where to find the things on the network. And we're always perfecting that, because I know that not everybody is as concerned about it as a brand manager would be.
Yeah,
they've got other work to do. So,
right. Well, I think that you've very successfully rebranded Donald Powers Architects to Union Studio. Like I said before, I certainly encourage everybody to go to the website and take a look at it, because I think it's a very good model to look at when you're branding or rebranding your own firm. Certainly don't copy it, but look at the lessons that are being taught there. You know,
thanks. Mark, I also want to interject, because I need to give a shout out to our web designer, Chris McRobbie out of London. He's a freelancer. He does amazing work. And I realize I hadn't mentioned him beforehand. We're talking so much about the site. I need to say that. So sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. And I'll have references to all the people mm-hmm. and the resources that you mm-hmm. described as well on the show notes. So, I'll find him on the web and put a link to him, because he did a really nice job.
Yeah, he did.
Is there anything else that you think that small firm architects can learn from what you did with Union Studio?
Yeah, I think, and you brought it up earlier as well, really put yourself in the shoes of your potential clients and your existing clients when looking at redesigning anything. And that's the way you would in any design process, where you think about what the user experience is going to be. And you can really craft your content towards whatever your target demographic is, both in the way that you speak, the words that you use, the images, even the navigation in your site can be very well organized to appeal to and attract a certain clientele. And in our situation, we divided up our portfolio search tools into three categories, one of which was just basic market sectors. The other was searching by transect and in new urbanism The built environment is divided into transects. So you go from, you know, kind of rural and unoccupied to dense city experience. And then we also sort by geography. So you could look at a map and say, have they done any projects near us? So we were able to kind of bolster the thought leadership experience with the transect search mechanism, but also the geography, which is that, you know, somebody might be thinking, oh, well, I don't know, I'm in Seattle, why would I call a Providence firm? But then they could see that we've done all their work out there.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably very important when you want to mm-hmm. be doing work elsewhere outside of your mm-hmm. region to show that you have been out there.
Yeah, and we added a PDF, a downloadable PDF, which is about how we work at a distance, which is linked to that page. So if your obvious question would be, well, how do they do it? Like, you know, how would they do CA on my project from across the country? And then they can download that so that they can bring that if they're just a decision maker and need to talk to their board, or if they're somebody that was just kind of looking at us and needed to bring that to the principal of their firm. You know, it's good to just have that cheat sheet available.
Yeah, I'm going to go take a look at that myself. If listeners wanted to reach out to you, what's the best mm-hmm. way for them to either say thank you for being here today to share mm-hmm. what you know, or sure. if they had any questions, what's the best way to contact you?
Well, my email, emily@unionstudioarch.com, Twitter @unionstudioarch, always looking for new followers. And we have a LinkedIn page as well. If you go to our website, you can find links to all of those things. My email is up on the website in our people section. You'll see me. And happy to answer any questions that people have. And, you know, I look forward to talking to other people who are dealing with the same challenges that we did. But it's, you know, it's fun. And a lot of people are doing great work, but just need to figure out how to communicate it better.
Yeah, I agree. Emily, thank you very much for being with me today on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey, thanks for listening to this Best of Entre Architect podcast episode. This is one of my favorite shows, and I hope you enjoyed hearing it again. And if it's your first time, welcome. Welcome to the Entre Architect podcast. And remember that Entre Architect Academy is opening its doors in September 2016. That's just a few weeks away. If you're interested in joining over 100 of your fellow entrepreneur architects for live training, digital courses, business documents, and a thriving private community of small groups meeting weekly on video conference and daily in our member forum, head on over to entrearchitect.com/academy and sign up for our early bird mailing list. We'll keep you updated on our progress, and we may even give you some inside information on how to join early at a special early bird price. So go sign up right now at entrearchitect.com/academy. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glenn Gary. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.